get to say good morning now to Dr. Nancy Nielsen. Good morning to you, Doctor.
Good morning, Jay.
We are seeing in some of these states across America right now where the positivity rate for coronavirus is reaching just unbelievable levels right now. I've seen some of these numbers, Wisconsin at 25%. You know, here we are in New York State. Even in our worst days, the rates weren't even that high.
That's right. Look at El Paso. El Paso's putting hospital beds in a convention center. Sound like anything you remember 7 months ago? And the sister city in Mexico right across from them is standing up a hospital in a gymnasium in a university. I mean, they're going through what we went through. And clearly New York has by and large been really, really smart in how this virus has been contained. I know people get annoyed with the very proscriptive stuff. I mean, you can't open the bowling alleys, you can't open the gyms, the movie theaters, but you can't argue with the success. And now New York has been able to move from this kind of broad swath of phases 1 through 4 in Western New York and downstate to this very micro containment with targeted red, yellow, and orange zones. And that's how it should work across the country if we continue to contain this virus here in New York.
So let's just make sure we understand how this micro-containment works. And is it working? Is it working in those areas that we've seen some of these micro-containments?
Well, it's early. It's early. And some of the, since this has been introduced, some of the areas have been rural. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the bigger test will be in New York City, and we have seen one or two efforts there. I think it will work, and it certainly will be much less disruptive. But that doesn't mean people can be complacent. That maybe is the bottom line message. We just can't think we're out of the woods here and slow up on social distancing and wearing masks.
And also avoiding gatherings. Is this what we're seeing in Canada right now, the spike in Ontario? Do we know for a fact that these can be traced to the Canadian Thanksgiving a couple of weeks ago and associative gatherings with that?
I think that's what the Ontario folks think, that this is mostly family gatherings and gatherings of young people to celebrate. And we're just a few weeks away from our own Thanksgiving, so I think we have to be really cautious. Certainly in my family, we always get together. We're not getting together this year. I just think it's the better part of caution.
A big issue is, of course, testing. Lots of testing going across New York State. I did hear the governor kind of comparing the New York State effort to, say, where in Florida, where they seem to be doing less testing. I guess what is the argument? If you do less testing, you'll find less positive rates. But that seems to be flying in the face of the way the numbers are shaping up across the country right now.
Well, you only find the cases if you test for them. It's not like if you don't test, the cases aren't there. They're there, and that's how you have the ability to isolate the people who are positive, do contact tracing, and really contain this virus. So in the beginning, when we didn't have enough testing, we vastly underestimated the number of tests that were positive had we had the tests. And we know that by doing antibody testing.
There are people who obviously have it, but they don't show symptoms, they're not getting sick, or they're being treated fairly easily. But there's a greater problem, though, if this continues to spread, right?
Oh, sure, because we know that 40% of people who have this virus may, in fact, be asymptomatic, but they sure can spread it. So not knowing that they're positive, I mean, what kind of ignorance is that? That just doesn't make any sense at all. We need to do extensive testing and then identify those who are positive and isolate them. That's how we're going to make it through this time and cut down the number of deaths until a vaccine is available.
Vaccines, you bring me to my next point. The governor has his own thoughts about vaccines. How does he want to address any possible vaccine coming down the pike here?
Well, the governor announced a week or two ago that New York is going to do an independent analysis of vaccine data before they'll allow any distribution of a vaccine that gets FDA emergency use authorization. Remember that EUA authorization is a shortcut to what is normally done with vaccines. And it's used in an emergency, and we're in an emergency. But the concern is that political pressure might overwhelm scientific assessment, and the governor is having none of that. And you can say, well, he's a control freak, but, you know, look at what some other states are doing out west. California, Washington, Oregon, and Nevada, they've all formed a coalition to do exactly the same thing. And clearly what they want to do is they will look at this data, which will be public before the FDA makes a decision. And if these independent scientific analyses out west and in New York agree with the FDA's decision to issue emergency use authorization for a vaccine, they'll say, great, don't delay. But if they disagree, you're definitely going to hear from them.
It is also interesting to hear some of the reminders. We talk about this every week. Wear a mask, stay socially distant, keep all those things in mind. But, you know, from a variety of high-level policymakers, they're saying this is a long ways away from going away and being totally eradicated.
Well, we all know Dr. Fauci on a first-name basis now. He just came out and said it may be late 2021 or early 2022 before we get back to what we thought of as normal. And Admiral Brett Guerwire, the HHS Assistant Secretary, was on TV yesterday talking about the need for masks and social distancing until a vaccine becomes available. So there are voices even within the administration that are saying the right thing scientifically. I do think our government should get credit for some things. I mean, think about what has happened. The government has invested heavily in pharmaceutical companies. They've pre-purchased doses of vaccine even before we know which vaccines are going to work. And we have a distribution plan. So that's actually important. And in terms of vaccines, two of them are nearing data availability in late November. That means probably in December we'll have an answer as to whether they're effective or not. Two others that were paused have restarted and are in need of more volunteers.
In your notes that you sent me this morning, that you just received a correspondence from Sanjay Gupta, a well-known name, obviously, here in the United States. And I'm always kind of struck by the types of people that you know in the scientific community. Talk to me a little bit about your relationship, first and foremost, with him, and then about this communication that you've had with him.
Well, I've known Sanjay for about 10 years. That's when I was AMA president, and he was being considered as Surgeon General. So he called me and asked me what I thought. I told him it was a terrible idea, that it was an awful political job, and he should just stay where he was because he could do a lot more good, and how true that has turned out to be. So we've stayed in touch since. And we were on a Zoom call together last Monday, and I sent him a note just thanking him for the public service he's providing. And he wrote me this morning and said, let me read it to you. "I think the role of journalists is more important than ever, but harder than ever, to counter the growing anti-science and politicized environment. Sometimes it feels like we're shouting into the abyss." Yeah, you know, I just think he's doing a terrific job, and we should express our thanks when we know people like that.
Dr. Nancy Nielsen, thank you very much for your time.
You bet. Thank you, Jay.